Welcome to this ASN Kidney 360 podcast. I am Dr. Rashida Hall, an assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Nephrology at Duke University School of Medicine in Durham, North Carolina. I'm joined by my co-author, colleague, Dr. Harold Manley, Senior Pharmacy Director at Dialysis Clinic Incorporated in Albany, New York. Today, we will discuss our article entitled Less is More, Deprescribing Medications in Older Adults with Kidney Disease, a Review, published in Kidney 360 this September.
For this discussion, I will ask Dr. Hall questions to provide listeners a sneak peek at the content of our review. So, to start, Dr. Hall, what are the goals of deprescribing?
Many clinicians know deprescribing simply as lowering or stopping a medication. Here, we want to emphasize deprescribing with the goal of preventing medication-related problems and potentially improving quality of life. To achieve these goals, we emphasize a proactive approach to deprescribing medications that are not primarily cleared by the kidneys, as nephrology clinicians often already decrease certain medications as kidney function declines. We use this review as an opportunity to talk about ways to consider deprescribing in terms of less intensive management of exemplar chronic conditions such as diabetes and hypertension, less inappropriate prescribing, and less medication regimen complexity.
Can you please describe the potential benefits of deprescribing in patients with diabetes?
For patients with diabetes, deprescribing focuses on achieving a less intensive goal for hemoglobin A1C, which would then lower risk of hypoglycemic events. A hypoglycemic event is a serious problem, especially in older or frail patients. Here we use frail to acknowledge that some younger patients with kidney disease may have reduced physiological reserve and heightened vulnerability to adverse events. The problem with a hypoglycemic event is that it can be associated with dizziness, slurred speech, seizures, functional decline, and confusion, or even cardiac ischemia or arrhythmias, head injury, or fractures. There's also emerging evidence that hypoglycemic events may contribute to cognitive impairment. So deprescribing may help avoid these adverse effects of hypoglycemia.
So, Dr. Hall, you raise great points regarding the role of deprescribing in the care of patients with diabetes. Can you also discuss potential benefits of deprescribing in patients with hypertension?
For patients with hypertension, deprescribing focuses on achieving a less intensive blood pressure, which would lower risk for hypotension. At worst, hypotension can lead to falls, fractures, and brain injury. So deprescribing allows us to be proactive in avoiding such events and lower medication burden, which can potentially enhance patient quality of life.
So what are some examples of potentially inappropriate medications in older adults?
Potentially inappropriate medications, or PIMS for short, are medications that carry more risk of harm than benefit. These medications are included in the American Geriatric Society BEERS criteria. Examples of PIMS that are not primarily cleared by the kidneys include benzodiazepines, anticholinergics, skeletal muscle relaxants, and some cardiovascular medications such as alpha blockers, digoxin, and amiodarone.
For clinicians, what are some specific examples of deprescribing strategies in patients with chronic kidney disease or those on dialysis?
Well, in this review, we describe the LESS framework for deprescribing to help clinicians execute the process in a CKD or a dialysis clinic. The LESS framework is a mnemonic having four letters. L is for list, where clinicians make sure there is an accurate medication list. E is for evaluate, where clinicians evaluate the patient's current clinical conditions as well as their medications with the aim to identify potential medications to deprescribe. This process involves identifying medications that have high risk to benefit profile, limited efficacy, or no longer indicated. Ideal times to conduct this evaluation are at times of transition, such as a new start to dialysis or end of life, or worsening cognitive impairment. The first S is for shared decision making, where clinicians have discussions with the patient and or caregiver about preferences, risks, benefits, and alternatives to make decisions for or against deprescribing. The second S is for support, where clinicians provide support to patients who choose to deprescribe with clear instructions on how to taper medication and monitoring for withdrawal symptoms or intolerance to the lower dose.
Well, thank you for providing information regarding the LESS, L-E-S-S framework. Can you discuss some challenges to successful deprescribing?
We recognize that deprescribing can seem challenging because it may be a new approach in a clinician's medication prescribing decision process, and there is oftentimes limited time to engage patients about deprescribing. Although many patients would like to take fewer medications or lower doses, clinicians need to be prepared to discuss patients' concerns that they may experience new or previous disease symptoms, or may feel defeated or depressed that their disease is no longer worth treating. Last, there are system-level challenges, especially for providing care to patients who receive care across multiple health record systems, which can limit accurate medication reconciliation and communication among clinicians. These challenges are not insurmountable and could in part be addressed with patient education and decision-making tools, engaging pharmacists, and shared medical records.
Thank you, Dr. Hall, for discussing this review article and its aim to provide foundational knowledge on deprescribing as an emerging component of clinical practice and research within nephrology. This review article provides deprescribing resources to facilitate these clinical encounters and a clinical vignette for educational purposes. Thank you for joining us for this Kidney 360 podcast.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.